Roberts. All right. For the record, I am Greg Blackwell, chairperson for the Strategic Planning and Finance Committee. It is 6:31 p.m. Wednesday, January 16th, 2013. With a quorum being present, the Strategic Planning and Finance Committee meeting is called to order. All right. So welcome, everyone. We luckily have our city engineer with us, and it's been requested that we move item 4 up in the agenda. Does anybody have any objection moving item 4 up?
No.
No? Okay. Well, let's start with item 4.
All right. What is item 4? Consideration and action recommendation to City Council by tax rate impact analysis roadway projects. Okay. I guess, I don't know if y'all are aware, but effectively the City Council has recommended that the Mobility Committee make presentations to the public of what effectively are what I'm calling alternates 1 and 3. Alternate number 1 is...
This should be a handout in your packets that looks like...
There's alternate 1.
Is it?
Yeah, right behind it.
Yeah.
Alternate 1 and alternate 3.
Alternate 1 in that package is functionally...
They don't have the maps.
That's okay.
Alternate 1 is the option which has got this needle and yellow sticky on it to Prevez. That's alternate 1. It's design 5 roadways, construct 5 roadways. Alternate 3...
They have this in their handle.
Oh, they do have that in there.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Even better. Then I won't have to do that. Because it says alternate 1 and alternate 3. Okay. The difference between this alternate 3 and what had previously been distributed to everybody as alternate 3 is that now Goforth Road has taken the place of Lehman Road. And functionally what that did is it added about $1.5 million. It's truly relative to the construction cost, the scale of Goforth compared to Lehman. That's just the difference between the two. But it's design 5 roadways, construct 3. That's the distinction between the two alternates. Give you a quick thumbnail sketch of what the roadways are. There is this neat little, like this, yep, there it is. This little exhibit right here, and that's going to be something that will be at the presentation on Saturday. All that is to show the limits of the 5 roadways, and more so than anything, it's got Kyle Parkway on there to kind of give some definition to Button Creek Road as to why it is and what it is. Because in this package, Button Creek Road is basically construct from I-35 to about 1,200 feet past Dacey Lane going east. And that's in the ultimate section, curb and gutter, storm sewer, street lights, the whole 9 yards. Beyond that, we will rebuild the rest of it to Lehman as a 3-lane rural section. And the reason being is ultimately that roadway will no longer exist when Kyle Parkway gets extended in the future. Kyle Parkway functionally in the future will go from I-35 all the way out to 21. Okay. You know, if you ever take a look at the transportation plan exhibit that's in the comp plan, it'll show you exactly what's going to happen there. There is one change that I'm working on right now, and that's to move way out east to where it goes beyond, I guess it's Button Creek Subdivision, if y'all have ever made it out there. Instead of staying on Button Creek Road, it's going to divert to the south and get on line with Cotton Gin. I think that's right. I'm going to start losing track there. But anyway, Button Creek Road, Goforth from the I-35 frontage road up to the Button Creek Goforth Road intersection. Lehman is from FM 150 up to Goforth Road, right near Lehman High School. North Burleson, which is basically from Center Street. Actually, it will be the first block section south of Burleson so that we can match up at the intersection with the same section north of it and then take Burleson all the way on the other side of the railroad tracks, and then from there it actually will tie into Marketplace, and that's where Marketplace will start and go and tie into City Lights. Burleson will be diverted out to the frontage road at one of three places. One is where the flea market is. The second one, there's a big High Line easement there. That, yes, sir.
Can you back up? Burleson will have what now? Three
Accessing?
Burleson will no longer cross at that low water crossing right at the frontage road. That's going to be taken out. That is a safety hazard.
Right.
We're just going to get rid of that. And it's, the bridge will stay there. There's some historical value to it, but there won't be any pavement connected to it on either side. And it will go out to the frontage road, either right along that self-storage facility, mm-hmm. or go down almost to the creek and wrap around the end of the RV place that's there. Camp Clamper Clinic, I think, is where it is. So that's the two options there. But ultimately, if you start on Center Street, you would be able to drive and go straight to 1626. That's the reason Marketplace is even in this package, because when I-35 switches to one-way frontage roads...
It's going
to
kill me.
Yeah.
You think this is bad now? It's going to be really bad when that happens, and we're probably 6 to 8 months from that happening.
And Marketplace isn't an option for this round of funding, is that correct?
Marketplace is in both of these to engineer it. Alternate 1 constructs it. Alternate 3, which is the other alternate, just engineers it. The 3 roads to be constructed as part of alternate 3 are Button, basically I-35 to Layman, as I described previously, go forth for this segment from 35 to the Button Creek intersection, and then Burleson basically to punch back out to the frontage road, and we would probably leave the rest of it in. But that's the 3 roads that are in there.
I just can't imagine Marketplace not being available in that one-way access road does take effect. That's going to be tough.
I'll tell you this, we will, depending on what happens in the bond election, if it's the 5 and 5 option and it passes, you'll still have about 2.5 to 3 years of surviving what you see out here, probably twice as bad until it gets built.
So we'll have turnarounds over here and we'll have the new frontage, correct?
No.
No?
The turnarounds are a separate project.
Uh-oh.
And there is not funding for them yet.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So they're designed. There's no funding to construct them. That's the latest information that I have from, I forget whether it was the commissioner or Don Allen, the area engineer.
So, good evening.
Anyway, the cost data that you see in both of these, one of the things I do want to point out to you that originally was in the first round of information, we did add in about $600,000 to extend that 3-lane section of Button Creek / Go Forth to Layman as just a rural section. So that's the difference in some of the numbers that maybe you've seen before and what's there today. A little history on these 5 roads and why they've kind of come forward. If you go back to even the 2005 transportation plan, all 5 of these roadways are in there as Go Forth was identified as an immediate need. Burleson, Layman, and the Button Creek Go Forth Road were all identified as short-term improvements. Marketplace was identified as this new NLR 11, which was a new alignment. That was before Marketplace even existed, any of it. Mm-hmm. So it was contemplated at that time. So those were even in the 2005 plan. In the 2010 plan, all 5 of those roads are in there again, and they're all considered moderate need roadways. What I will tell you is that now that functionally Button Creek Road, Layman, and Go Forth, and for that matter even Burleson, they're really safety issues. They are in that poor condition. I drive a 4-wheel drive Tahoe. I bottomed out on Button Creek Road before, just driving on the normal pavement section because I lost track of where I needed to run my tires. I've seen multiple cars bottom out in front of me on the times that I've been on. They're that bad. And I'd say from the Mobility Committee's perspective, part of the reason for it, and I'd say even in the envisioning process why these roadways came forward, is because of that issue primarily. Where do your school buses that have all of our kids on them primarily mm-hmm. drive on? Button Creek, Go Forth Road in this section, and Layman. So I think that's why they've risen to the top. Burleson obviously is one of the primary roadways on the west side of I-35, and Marketplace is the connector that once the frontage roads go one way, it's the piece that would allow you to have basically this site function as it does today. Without Marketplace there, that's going to get tremendously worse and stay that way until Marketplace gets built.
So Marketplace doesn't get, if we don't do, if we do alternate three for whatever reason, if that's what gets put in front, delaying Marketplace even longer, so what's, said right now, alternate one would get us to about 2.5-3 years before Marketplace is relevant?
Well, and I'll tell you this, alternate one right now, it just styles it as engineer 1 year, sell first road, second road, third road, fourth road, fifth road in subsequent years to basically spread out the expense.
Okay.
Hopefully allow the city to continue to grow more tax base and possibly reduce the tax rate implications. That's, I guess, the real thought behind not selling it all in one fell swoop.
Okay.
And, you know, spreading that debt over time. So I'd say that's the real impetus behind, you know, the way that these things are set up. I mean, even alternate three is set up the same way. Engineer all of them up front. And what that allows is, even in that intervening period, it allows us to go into the CAMPO process. And through CAMPO, and they typically have funding cycles twice a year, that any of these roadways, and I'll tell you that actually Marketplace, Burleson, of the roadways that can compete at the CAMPO level, that is the one that can do it.
Could you repeat that just to make sure it sinks in?
Because it's from a mobility standpoint, mm-hmm. and what it will function as on the west side, just as I've described what it would relieve out here, mm-hmm. that's why it would compete very well in the CAMPO process.
Okay.
Because CAMPO looks at things from the standpoint of, you know, everybody's got a ton of roadways out there that they throw into this hopper,
okay.
and say, CAMPO, divine which are the ones that you're going to grant the funding that you can get from the state or from the feds.
Mm-hmm.
But where it really comes down to is, what is the function of that roadway? And you have to have it engineered. You don't have it engineered, you never get into the CAMPO process.
Mm-hmm.
The only time they ever fund roadways from zero to completion is when they take a great big giant project, like the most recent version is MOPAC and the retrofit of the, you know, managed use lanes. There was no engineering. They threw, I believe, $234 million at that in one fell swoop. That's the kind of project that they look for when they do 100% funding. It is not a project of this type. So anyway, that's the game plan behind engineering five in both scenarios,
right.
is that over time, we could throw any and all of them into the CAMPO process. And if they happen to get funded, those dollars, the way I would envision that the bonds would be written is that those funds either don't get sold, or if they do get sold, they get allocated to another project that is just outside the range of where these five are.
Right.
So that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of what I can think of
great.
To tell you guys.
That was very good information. Thank you.
So.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck getting around, Rob.
Yeah. I'll get there close enough. I don't actually have to be there at 5:30, but or 7:30. But I'll be close enough.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. And in the future, y'all ever have questions, by all means, I'd be glad to come in and tell you what I know or what I think.
Thank you. Good luck.
So that was a quick overview of the roads, which roads are included, where the roads start and end. And now let's talk about money, the money part of it.
Yeah, if we could step back, just I think you could probably answer this, but are these two going to vote as two different options?
That has not been decided.
Okay, that's so, what the yeah. meetings are for the
Let's go back to October time frame. Our last meeting was October 19th. The 17th, sorry. At that meeting, you recall that I discussed with y'all that we were working on a financial analysis for the mobility committee, which happened
right.
to meet like 2 days later. I didn't have the information ready, so I could not share with y'all. In your handout, you have a financial analysis that looks something like this that was shared with the mobility committee on October 18th. Janine was present. She got the full detailed version of the discussions. Mobility committee looked at several options. And this is a good time to kind of go over the summary. You'll see the five options that the mobility committee asked Stephen as well as myself to come up with a rate impact analysis. And the idea was they were going to look at different options, different combinations, and then work with city council. So they met in October, they had some more meetings, and then there was a workshop, joint workshop between Mobility Committee and the city council. At that city council meeting, the joint workshop, it was narrowed down to two options. One option was all five roads, and the other option was, which he refers to as alternate three, the three roads, Bunton, Goforth, and Burleson. So those are the two options being considered. Neither one of them have been decided yet by city council. City council is going to make that decision in February. I think by February 19th. 19th they have to. February 11th is the state recommended time frame for getting the Department of Justice's assessment or evaluation. I have also shared with you a calendar, the bond election calendar. We've shared this with the Mobility Committee as well as City Council. And we'll go over this in a minute. But the five options we discussed with the Mobility Committee in October, just a quick summary, the base option they were looking at were all five roads, and the alternate four they were looking at was, they were, after the five roads, they started building back. Option one was Bunton only. Option two was Bunton and Layman. Option three was Bunton, Layman, and Burleson. And then option four was Bunton, Layman, Burleson, and Marketplace. So those were the combinations they looked at. That's what was presented also to council during the workshop. And then at the end of the workshop, what came out of that meeting was those two options. So now we have option A or 1, whatever you want to call it, are all five roads. And then option 2 or option B is the alternate three or three roads, Bunton, Burleson, and Goforth. I have not completely finished the analysis for the three-road version. I'm still working on it. But the five-road version, I can tell you the impact. If you look at the summary, if you look at the second summary, the first summary is a very high level. Second summary has more detail. The estimated tax impact is 20.75 cents per $100 of assessed valuation. That's line number under base option, line D. Cumulative increase in tax rate. You remember Stephen talked about how they were planning on doing the engineering year number one, and then you'll see on the schedule which roads are going year number two, year number three, year number four, year number five. So based on that staggered schedule of construction as well as bond sale, the cumulative impact after all five roads are accounted for, the impact is 20.75 cents per 100 valuation. That turns into about $260 a year for average home in city of Kyle. And that's based on current tax rates. That's based on current AV in Kyle. I have not projected increase in our tax base. I have not projected increase in our tax rates. So these numbers are based on today's tax rates and today's AV, and also today's average home value.
Does it take into consideration Kyle growth, like with more?
No, I did not include that because, one,
it's hard to
predict that. Mm-hmm. Two, it's better to be on the conservative side and
not
either inflate or project a growth rate that may or may not materialize.
Correct. Yeah.
So this is the worst case scenario impact.
Okay.
So that's the impact of the five roads. Now, the new combination, which is closest to alternate number three, Bunton, Layman, and Burleson. So now we're going to replace Layman with Goforth. Mm-hmm. Goforth is $8.4 million. And Layman was, I think, $6.8
million. So that's more.
Right. Goforth is a little higher than Layman. So if you look at alternate three, The tax impact was 13.85 cents. My guess is by changing that layman width go forth, that's going to move up to about 15 cents approximately. But I'll have that number tomorrow afternoon. Unfortunately, I couldn't finish it today. So it'll be about 15 per $100. The Mobility Committee, I shared with y'all an email. The Mobility Committee has scheduled two public meetings, one this Saturday, and the next one is on the 26th, which is also Saturday, from 10 a.m. to about noon. They'll go over the two options that is being considered. Stephen will be there. I'll be there. Stephen, I believe, is going to talk the technical side, which roads and the what's included in the road improvements. And I'll briefly go over with a very high-level summary of what the tax rate impact is going to be of option one or option two. So the idea is to share with citizens what is being considered, get their feedback, and then come back to council for a final decision as to what they would like to see on the bond ballot, what the bond language will look like, what the bond ordinance will look like to call the election, or if they don't want to call the election. So that will be decided hopefully by February 19th, I think is the second meeting in February. So that's basically the financial analysis. There's a lot of details. If you look through, let me walk you through base option. Every option is set up the same way. If you look on page 3 of 7, which is the base option. Base option is where Mobility Committee was considering all five roads.
That would be kind of the worst case scenario.
Right.
Let's just
if we
just take this. Or best, I was just going to say, yeah.
I'm looking at it from the financial side.
Yeah,
from a
resident. Tax base going up.
Well, for me, it doesn't bother me. So, well, I understand your impact because I remember when they switched ours. It, just trying to get to my son's school was a pain. So. Yeah.
It just has to be some type of outlet. I guess now you have Kyle Parkway. Is that your resolution to your issue before, I'm assuming?
Well, that helped relieve the issue before they got the right there at 217, right. The new bridge. That was my outlet.
Okay.
So
I'm barking up the same tree over here.
I know you are. You bit my ear last Thursday.
So base option is all five roads. And the total is $35.3 million. And that's what Stephen showed y'all on alternate one. And the way the $35 million is broken into is the first section you'll see construction cost of the roadways. I have separated the construction and engineering. So you'll see construction cost of each road in the first group of numbers. And then the second group is the engineering cost of each road. So the construction is $29.9 million. The engineering cost for all five roads totals up to $5.4 million. So the sum total of those two is $35.3 million. In the third section is how the Mobility Committee was contemplating the roads would be constructed, the timing of those road construction. First year, they're planning on doing engineering for all five roads. So that's the $5.4 million in year number one. That stays the same in the option two version. Right. City Council is also considering doing engineering for all five roads. Then in year number one, they were contemplating doing Bunton Road. So you see the $4 million for construction in year number two for Bunton. Then year number three, they were looking at Layman for $6.8 million.
Would that change since
That will change in option number two.
Okay.
Option one was all five roads. So this will stay the same.
Okay. In this order?
In this, unless council directs us something different.
All right.
Council has not decided the timing or which roads.
Okay. Are we able to recommend this group?
Yes. So at the end of our discussion, the agenda item before you is to formulate your recommendation to City Council from this committee. So in year number three, it was Lehman. Year number four was Burleson for 7.3 million. Then year number five was a marketplace. And year number six was GoForth, which was $8.4 million. So what you will see in option two would be Lehman would be zero, marketplace will be zero. So the only three roads you'll see are Bunton, Burleson, and GoForth.
But as far as the year,
the timing,
the ordering of the year,
they'll just move up.
Right. Okay.
So you'll okay. go, you know, Bunton, according to the Mobility Committee's schedule. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
There's a community development meeting today also.
Oh, well, I guess that's why.
Are you causing problems over there?
No, I just...
She likes to cause problems.
Because I thought we were going to... Bunton was going to replace Lehman.
Well, I think that's the...
But I don't see that.
Okay, so you're just speaking to the first option.
This is just for option one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them is changing. So
these roads, like you said, are not necessarily in order of how they're completed. Bunton, I think, will probably be number one for sure.
I don't know. It's up to council to determine and direct us that. So the timing and the sequence and which roads, how many roads, will all be council's decision.
Okay, now, where's Bunton again?
That's right next to the Exxon, right?
Going towards Lane.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, because I thought that was GoForth, but I guess GoForth starts further down.
No, GoForth.
There's like 15 GoForths in this county.
I know.
GoForth and Bunton.
Yeah, they
do this. You know where the fire station is?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Bunton Road, right?
Bunton.
That
heads okay.
out, yeah, towards.
Yeah. Okay. So just down there where you turn right, like you're going towards that elementary school?
Right.
That's GoForth.
Okay. Okay, got it. Thank you.
And I've also included...
It's confusing.
I know.
In the descriptions, you'll see Bunton is from I-35 to Lehman, or Lehman you'll see from RM-150 to GoForth. The descriptions that the engineering group is using, I've included that here.
Okay.
So that's the timing that the Mobility Committee was considering. Then the last section, oh, sorry. I thought you were going to say something.
So I'm looking at this, and on Burleson Road under in the base option, Center Street to I-35. But that really wouldn't go to I-35 according to Stephen, is that correct? Or would it go to I-35 without Marketplace or another access being there?
It would go to Frontage Road, but cut through either the storage place mm-hmm. or by the RV park somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. But if those outlets aren't there, are we going to spend the money and send it all the way to the 35 access road, Burleson?
He's trying to avoid that bridge.
The low water crossing. Okay. So it'll be somewhere below before then.
So I guess my question is, if they do Burleson before Marketplace, what's going to happen? Are they going to extend that to the frontage road, or will they actually build through the RV park?
I think the idea is to cut through the RV.
So that's part of Burleson, is to extend that. Okay.
Right. To connect into the park. And probably part of that is also to get ready for Marketplace to come into it. So
they did Marketplace first. Yeah. They're going to have to rework that whole area where they intersect. So. Let's not do it like they do it in Jersey.
I highly encourage you all to. I highly recommend and encourage you all to come Saturday if y'all can, because there will be a lot of good questions coming up for y'all to hear.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna make the first one, but I think I'll make the second one.
The last section is the fiscal impact. So you'll see the incremental debt service requirements. So when you sell $5.4 million for engineering in year number one, we'll start paying debt service on that portion of the bonds. So about $445,000. Next year, we built Bunton, in this scenario, $4 million, so we got to pay debt service on that one. So these are incremental debt service in line number one. In line B, I show you the cumulative. So by the end of sixth year, our debt service will go up by $3 million to pay for all five roads.
How's that going to impact our
debt management policy?
Yes.
The debt management policy has enough room. You can issue another $47 million based on the thresholds and the AV that we have today. Okay. That doesn't mean we should, but it allows you up to that if council decides. Also in the second column, I have put in to show you if you invested $35.3 million in this option, it would cost you a total of almost $52 million after interest. So you can see how much the financing cost is as well. Then in line D, C and D are, C is incremental tax rate impact, and D is cumulative. So I would prefer that, you know, we walk through you through the cumulative line, mm-hmm. because that is the impact. So by the time you get to year number six, when all the bonds are sold for all five roads, we're looking at 20.75 cents increase in property tax rates from where we are today.
So that's a good thing. It's not hitting all at once. It's incremental. It's going to take us 6 years to get up to that.
Right. It's not hitting all at once. But it doesn't take into account any future growth we may have.
Right.
Right. Right.
Which then, which could, yeah. So that, so after that sixth year, I mean, we're still going to be.
You will still be paying debt service,
right?
But by raising the taxes by 20.75 cents, you have generated enough money from taxes to cover the debt service for the remainder. These are going to be 20-year bonds. Mm-hmm. These are going to be general obligation bonds of the city. That's why we're going to the voters for bond election. The second option will be set up exactly the same way. And the difference will be instead of five roads, you'll have three roads. And it will only be Bunton, Goforth, and Burleson. So instead of 20.75 cents tax rate impact, on that one, my estimate is that it'll be around 15 cents. So if you look at option number three here, which was three roads.
So we're talking 5 cents per $100.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Option three is about $23.6 million. And this option was for Bunton, Layman, and Burleson. So now we'll replace Layman with Goforth. So instead of $6.8 million, it will be the $8.4 million. So it'll go up a little bit on the cost side. Consequently, the property tax rate impact will be a little bit higher.
So this is kind of what I was alluding to earlier, is if Layman is replaceable with Goforth, with this option, why would we put Layman, if we do all five, why would we put Layman first in the order of things to do? I'm just curious.
I don't think they are put there in any
particular order.
Yeah,
you don't think so?
In the base option, this right. order was determined or suggested by the mobility committee. They came up with this order.
So they came up with this order, and then later they said...
No. Well, I am talking about this order. Whatever. It might be the same order.
The difference.
Yeah, no, it is the same order, right? 8,000.
Yeah, this one and this one are the same. Should be the same.
So I'm just saying, if we're determining that... Layman is replaceable with Goforth, then why would Layman be first on the list of roads to work on.
Yeah, why go for it last?
Right.
When Mobility Committee was looking at the all five roads. I couldn't tell you how they came up with the order.
I mean, maybe it's a pathway. You need to do this one first in order to get to this one. I don't know.
Engineering wise?
Yeah, I don't really know, but I mean, that's something, I don't know.
Be great to discuss that on Saturday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm just curious.
I don't know if it's the condition of Layman or if it's the...
But if we're deciding...
Traffic on Layman.
Option two is saying go forth needs... You know, just take Layman out altogether. Then why?
Yeah.
You understand my question, right?
No, it's a valid one. If you think about driving on it versus Button or Goforth, those two should go before Layman. And I'm in agreement with what you're saying. Yeah. So, and that's, I see it.
Okay. I think your question is if Layman didn't make it an option two, Goforth did.
Right.
So why isn't Goforth a higher priority when all five roads are being done?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm asking. Yeah.
Great question, Janine.
Thank you.
So that's how the analysis will be for the option two version. But my estimate at this point is going to be about 15 cents. But I will email it to each one of you tomorrow afternoon when I'm done with it. Any questions on the setup of the analysis or what's in it, what the assumptions are?
Not for me.
One thing I would like to caution y'all, as I have both the Mobility Committee and City Council, these are preliminary estimates. They are going to change. I can guarantee you they will change. We have not taken any construction bids, so those numbers will change. The construction timing will change, probably, because there might be weather delays, bid delays. Those things will come into play. They won't happen exactly. We won't have the bond sales exactly in year one, year two, year three. There might be some movement. So those things will also impact the rate impact.
Meaning that some of the bonds could be
delayed further.
They would be grouped together, so we'd have a double hit, like in 1 year or something, or potentially?
Depending on which roads go first and how long it takes to get the engineering, the design, the environmental clearances, and the construction completion. Instead of 12 months, it may take 18 months, 24 months to complete a road.
What Greg was, I don't know if this is what you're asking, but would that mean that you're doing two?
Bunch up,
or would it delay?
It would delay, okay. I think.
Okay.
It most likely will delay. I don't think we have the resources to do five roads all at one time.
Okay.
Resources in the sense, staff.
Right. Yeah.
You have only one staff, city engineer.
Okay. Makes sense.
So, just so I'm clear, everyone else, we're putting it to the voters. We're potentially putting it to the voters. We're talking about it, and the meeting is coming Saturday, and they'll take it to council and all that fun stuff. But essentially, bonds will be issued for each road. Is that how I'm understanding?
If whatever council authorizes.
So is it one gigantic? Okay, so whatever council authorizes. Yeah. Go seek a bond for this, that, or the other.
Let's say council authorizes go with three roads, option two. Uh-huh. Put that on the ballot.
Uh-huh. And a package of three roads, not.
Well, we don't
one
know
package,
if council is going to go with one proposition with all three roads, or they're going to say have three propositions.
Okay.
We don't know. It's up to council.
Okay.
Let's just for discussion purposes, we say it's one prop with three roads. It goes to the voters, and the voters approve it. The bonds will not be sold all in day one. They will be sold as we need.
Okay.
So
as we need funds,
right.
As we need it. Okay. Thank you.
It adds a little bit to the bond issuance cost, but it is worth saving that interest cost if it's going to take 2 years to build one road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Less chances of somebody misusing it, too. Well, once it's earmarked, I don't think it can be used for anything else.
That's right. No, it will. It will be in reserve until it's used for that purpose. Unless City Council comes back and says, you know, let's change that. But if you've gone to the voters and the bond proposition specifically says Bunton or Goforth, you must use it for that, because that's the promise you've made to the bond holders and to the citizens.
Right, right.
Okay.
Any other questions on the analysis? So with that, I'll hand it back to you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm not sure we have enough information to really do any kind of recommendation to council regarding the rate.
Regarding what?
The rate impact analysis. I mean, other than from what it looks like, I mean, Pervez has done a great job.
Or your recommendation could cover which options you would recommend to a city council of the two options that are on the table now.
Well, my only issue is I just can't imagine that road go. We haven't talked about it all night. I just can't imagine what's going to happen to the west side of Kyle, traffic-wise.
Once it goes one way.
Once that goes one way, without having an outlet to 1626, that is going to be insane.
Yeah. Without having to go all the way around 150 to 2770,
yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, it's going to create huge congestion on, you know, exit 213, you know, Center Street here, and 217. You know, the exit, you know, getting on the I-35. It's just going to go all up and down Kyle. It's going to be bad on the west side. So in my opinion, I think Bunton should be number one. There's a lot of safety issues there, as was discussed earlier. But I think the second road that needs to be built has got to be Marketplace, in my opinion. Again, that's just my opinion. And I'm not thinking only of myself, I promise. I'm just thinking of the citizens on the west side of Kyle. It's going to be tough. Do all of you live on east side?
I live east side.
Yes.
So I don't
they finished my bridge.
Care.
I'm good. I'm kidding. Yeah, no, I used to live on the west side, so I feel your pain, what you're going through. Yeah. That's definitely.
Yeah, and I come up on.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. And I don't know if this. I mean, you travel that. I really don't know what you guys are experiencing, but I come down on FM 150 every day. And when that one was a two lane road, well, I don't want to say two lane. It was. I don't even know what it was. I guess it was one. But then that had that center lane. Kind of thing that could go
two lane with the turning
what
lane.
What part of 150 are you talking about?
Well, right there by the access road.
Okay.
Okay. If you're leaving first thing in the morning, you know, while all the school buses are out and everything, that would be so backed up. And what people and even the access road would be, the frontage road would be so backed up because I'm going to use my fingers here. So here's FM 150, and here's the access road, and then here's the Dairy Queen and Light, right? This would be so backed up, and people here are so backed up trying to turn to get onto the freeway, right? And what was going on, and this is what might help with your situation, I don't know, is people would get out of line here and then to cheat and then go onto the frontage road. And now that there's this road construction, there's no way to cheat. And traffic is great. I'm like, keep it this way. I'm fine with it. Because it's so awesome because there's no way to cheat and you don't have to have this weaving thing anymore. You just go straight on.
Right.
Hmm. So I don't know if something like that will actually free up traffic.
You're going to be stuck, you know, on the east side. You guys have multiple roads that you can get to the service road and get right on the highway without going through a light. BB, Exxon, you have a light. I think there's another road doesn't go forth. If you go to Albany and go forth, you can get on the access road and get on the highway, I think, as well. The west side has nothing like that. Every place that we want to get on the highway, you have to go through a light. So I just don't see there being any resolution to that going northbound, of course. So if we're going to make any recommendations, I would like to make at least for us to vote on something that they would change the option of these roads, but leave that up to the body.
But see, you're basing it on an inconvenience, but I guess that's still an inconvenience because it could block emergency cars
well, it's
and stuff
mobility.
Like that.
So,
yeah.
Mobility.
Yeah,
mobility.
Yeah, okay.
Issue.
Yeah, all right, never mind. Yeah, so I was thinking versus safety, but it's all safety.
Well, I think Bunton's probably the most unsafe.
Yeah, that's safe.
So I think that really needs a lot of work. And I propose that above Marketplace solely because of that. Safety issue.
I personally think that if if we're going to make a recommendation on one or the other, I think we need to go with all five roads.
I agree. I second if you're making a motion.
Yeah, 5 cent difference in tax base.
Yeah, the difference doesn't warrant to push out two of them for longer road.
And it's an incremental increase, you know what I'm saying? So $30 here, then, you know, an extra 30.
Oh, and here's another.
We know that's going to add up.
It's not as shocking as 250.
I think it's going to be more beneficial for the city if we do them all, have them all scheduled out versus, you know, let's spend $25 million on three of them and then let's wait another 4 to 5 years for the other two roads.
Right, right. Get it. I think that's what you were just saying.
It's really setting up the infrastructure for the city.
Right.
And here's another plus to making Marketplace the second road. This cost is only 3.3.
I was noticing that myself.
So we would have some tax savings up front to the tax rate, I guess.
Not tax saving necessarily, but just less of an impact.
Less of an impact up front, giving more time for the city to grow and, you know, obtain new tax revenue.
Ooh, you should be a lawyer. Good argument.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think we're all in agreement that all five roads is what we would recommend.
I would say so, with definitely a taking a look at reordering.
Yes.
How they're going to be built. So, I mean, I think that's the whole point of, these two Saturday meetings. But maybe I'm missing that. Diane, do you have any insight of that?
Well, I think the two meetings is trying to get more of the community to come out and speak.
About it?
Yeah. And be on board if you're educated.
To get on board, yeah. Because this is a huge...
It's a big.
This is not a small potatoes. This is 20 cents on the tax rate.
Right.
You do all five.
Right.
And, you know, we're speaking from 28,000 people. And it's kind of scary. And so, you know, the reason I was in for it is for them to come out and give them two more options, because the visioning forums that we did, they weren't very well attended by, you know, citizens in the outlying areas and the neighborhoods. And so we were trying to give them two more opportunities before we actually vote. So it's to hear from them once they... Staff does a brief overview. We've given and we've publicized a lot of information. It's on the website, it's in different spots, but it just doesn't seem like we're hearing, you know, maybe from the people down in Green Pastures or over here in Old Town, you know, because this is going to impact all of us.
Right. Yeah. So, just kind of hearing from the same core people and not so many outliers.
Right. Well, we're trying to give them more opportunities to get out. See if they'll get out. Because we're right on the cusp of voting on this.
So. Okay.
So, yeah, we can discuss order, but I think it's for what I'm looking for is for more people to come out and voice their opinion on it. And, you know, now that it's made it to KXAN and several other stations, maybe people saw it on the news and they will come and give us their opinion. So, or maybe we're just beating a dead horse and we should just go ahead and buy
it. Just do it.
You know.
Yeah.
How much more are our tax base be than Butte's at that point? 50 cents, something like that?
Yeah, almost 50 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're a better city.
Butte's at 26 right now. But Butte is also considering doing some mobility improvements over there.
But they need to as well.
Yeah, I don't know what those increases, how that will affect them. But yeah, they're 26 right now. And don't forget we have ACC.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our own fire district. So do they. They have ACC too.
Is ACC, were there any incentives given to ACC? That property over there?
Sure there were. Okay.
So do you want to go down these roads one by one and take a vote of order, or what do you think we should do? I assume our recommendation will get to whoever by Saturday, is that correct? Perez?
At the public meeting, we're not planning to share committee recommendations. It'll be just an overview of the two options and get feedback from the citizens.
That's good.
Your recommendation will go to City Council, and we can present it in two ways. One, a memo from the chairperson to a mayor and council would be one way to do it. Another way would be we put it on the agenda, and the chairperson or another member of the committee represents the committee and presents the recommendation to council and answer any questions they may have. And we can put it on the agenda for the 5th.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So it's up to y'all, how y'all want.
Excuse me.
I mean, the one lingering question that we don't have right now would be is, from the engineer standpoint, if Burleson has to go before Marketplace for setting up that infrastructure to be able to connect the two.
Right.
That's
I'd imagine that could be accomplished, but I think fixing up Burleson, well, you know, it's well needed, of course, but, you know, it's not going to be used that much, I don't think.
Do you have the map again?
No,
you know, I mean, it's, you know, you're kind of...
Oh, the one he was using?
It's kind of like building, you get on Mopac.
No, I knew you were going to have a little packet for us. And so I didn't print it.
There's a map next door.
Oh, you get to the river.
On the wall, if y'all want to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge... Actually, yeah, that would kind of be helpful, I think.
Yeah.
If y'all want to see it.
Yeah.
To see the room?
Can we...
Yeah.
Go to the next room? Just to kind of stare at the map better.
That's fine. Are you trying to picture Burleson and all, or just all of them?
All
yeah,
of them?
Let's take a field trip.
Yeah, let's take a field trip.
Is the room open?
Yes,
it's right there. You got it connected. Okay. Do we need the?
You want the reporter?
Yeah, the reporter. No, we're gonna take a 5 minute.
Taking a 5 minute break.
And you gonna join us?
Yeah.
Where's the pause button?
We're good.
Okay. Okay, so it's, is that right? 7:30?
Yeah.
And we're starting back up again. So we talked about reordering those roads. We're under the impression that the roundabouts at I-35 and FM-150 for Center Street are not going to be made, or they won't be in place, I should say, when we go into construction on our set of roads.
Unspecified at this point.
Yeah. So based on that, we'd like to consider reordering the construction of the 5 roads. We talked about Marketplace being a pivotal road for accessing 1626 for those on the west side, specifically trying to go northbound on I-35.
I would assume probably 70 to 80% of the people that live in Kyle probably do travel to Austin, I would imagine.
Maybe
the commuters that do.
I live north and go south, so.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It's probably.
Yeah.
A lot better.
So. So Brian, did you have a suggestion on which order?
Under base option, I'm on board with Bunn being the first road. I would like to see Marketplace to be the second road to alleviate the traffic conditions that would be made brought about with the access road going one way. Third road, I would like to see probably Goforth, then Burleson, then Lehman.
Burleson and Lehman are probably interchangeable in my opinion, but that's kind of my order.
I would recommend a slightly different version, I may.
Yeah, absolutely, Janine.
Okay.
That's not allowed.
Button number one, marketplace number two, Burleson number three, Goforth number four, and Lehman number five.
And I would be inclined to move Lehman up, I think. Well, what were the three that we... Okay, we were going to do Button, Burleson, and Goforth was option two.
No, Lehman wasn't in there.
Right.
That's why I think Lehman should be number five, since it wasn't priority. It was bumped by Goforth.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the Lehman being last, I don't think. looking at the maps, I think if Burleson doesn't go second, I think some of the costs that would be incurred there would need to be transferred over to Marketplace, because it hits right before the, if we were looking at the map there correctly, it'll come in right south, just north of the railroad tracks, and without the city engineer here to confirm, but looking at it, that $7.3 million, I think, would include some improvements going over the railroad tracks, which I don't think are included in the other on the marketplace. Right. So, I mean, I agree moving marketplace, I'd put it in third, and then Goforth, and then Lehman last.
So we have four people and we have four different opinions.
Well, what's your opinion? I didn't hear yours.
I was thinking that Lehman, I thought that would be a pretty high traffic area for school buses coming in from a Waterleaf area and things like that. So, and I know it's a very narrow road.
I don't really travel it unless I go to Lowe's.
I don't ever go over there very much.
It's a pretty straight road. Why? I don't understand why it's...
Besides that it's just narrow.
It's just as bad as Burleson.
It's other pretty than bumpy.
Your condition.
No, yeah, I know.
Well, I would
it's
say
it's not as bad. It's still traversable.
Yeah. Although it probably would be better than...
Other than you can get it flooded sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, Goforth maybe be last. Because it's... If you look at it compared to Lehman, it's newer.
But Goforth is horrible.
Not Goforth.
But Goforth, is there any room
on
Goforth
for
business expansion? Is that zoned? Do you know if that's zoned business? Goforth around I-35 there? I'd assume that's part of zoned commercial, right?
It's part of it is zoned, but they're going to rezone it. There's a couple things that will
be coming.
Which will cause rezone.
Commercial or residential?
With Darcy to Lehman.
Anything we can do to improve our tax base,
right.
I think would be
that's the one that's horrible.
Pretty important to do. That's why I'm on board with, that's another reason why I'm on board with Platinum Road, is because I believe improvements to that could spark up that area a little bit over there as well, from a business standpoint. I know some of that
there's already a bunch of businesses on that one side.
But, you know, some of that stuff remained vacant for a long time just because of the infrastructure. I mean, nobody, you know, I think, what's that power company, what is it called?
Stream Power.
Stream Power. You know, they finally moved in because, you know, they're already living that nightmare. So moving down the road wasn't a big deal to them. But that stuff has remained vacant for quite some time, hasn't it? A lot of that area. And that's prime real estate over there in terms from a commercial standpoint. Mm-hmm. So there's many reasons to choose Button for number one.
So we all agree that, I mean, I think we all agree that Button is number one. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Marketplace number two? Or no? It depends.
I think it depends on what engineering would say regarding Burleson.
Yeah.
I don't see why they couldn't make the Burleson Marketplace just one continuous project.
Yeah, it's just a long stretch of road, I guess, huh?
That's not near as long as Lehman, I don't think, is it?
No. Lehman is much longer.
Lehman's going to be longer, but it's a straighter road, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
This tough decision.
I don't guess you're aware of that, where that is, are you? From an engineering standpoint, if Burleson needs to be in place before Marketplace can go, do you know?
No, I don't. I was trying to see if I can find Steven's cell phone number. Maybe I can get him on the speakerphone.
His meeting started at 7:30, did it not?
That's what he said.
There's no way he made it to Round Rock in 45 minutes. I just can't see that happening. No,
he's going down the Mopac. He's going to go to Mopac. Yeah, he wouldn't. It'd be at least an hour.
Yeah. This is 20 minutes to...
It takes me 45 minutes to get from North Kyle to Pflugerville. Yeah. And Round Rock's a little bit farther.
I have his office number, but not his cell.
So.
Well, so maybe we can't make a recommendation then.
But what we can do is attend... meetings.
Another thing you might want to consider is if you don't have enough information to formulate a recommendation tonight, perhaps rather than waiting until the next meeting in April, you can call a special meeting next week if you wanted to do that after the Saturdays.
After one Saturday and meet before the other Saturday.
Yeah. All right.
So I guess two things we need to determine. One, are there going to be turnarounds at Center Street? And the engineering question.
Right.
About Marketplace and Burleson.
Is it possible for me to receive the specific question that the committee has of the city engineer? Either by email from you or you?
Sure. Going? Yeah, I'll... do these two questions, send them to you an email.
Okay. And I'll forward those to Stephen for an answer.
Yep.
And you'll copy all of those?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I have to be mindful of the open records, open meetings law, so I'll have to figure out how to send it all to y'all so y'all don't discuss those via email.
Okay.
So it'll just be for information only. Okay.
So I will email you the questions, then you will email us all back the responses.
Yes.
Okay.
Just
basically what I'll be asking is, if and when the turnarounds are going to be in place, and the engineering or the order of construction of Marketplace and Burleson.
Yeah, is there a dependency?
Of
those two.
Okay.
Or which one should
be first? Basically, can Marketplace be built without Burleson being first
completed? Right. Right.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I will do that.
So.
And then
let me just. Oh, so once we find out the answer, then
we'll meet.
We can't go back and forth with email.
Right.
Okay. But we can discuss a meeting, right? To say, can we meet?
We can decide a date tonight.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Because I have to post the meeting notice.
Okay.
I have something. I don't have anything next Wednesday. Or Tuesday.
Thursday I have something.
Because the Thursday's out for both of us.
I'm right up in all week, so whatever works for you.
Yeah, I'm not that forced. I don't even need to consult.
And I don't think. I guess it depends on how deep our conversation gets. But I wouldn't expect it to last probably about an hour or so.
No, half an hour.
Well, since we're used to doing it on Wednesday, I vote for Wednesday.
I do too. I second.
Wednesday's good.
Yeah.
Okay, all in favor of Wednesday next week, the 23rd of January?
Aye.
At 6:30 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a good clarification.
Okay. All right, so let's do that. So we're going to table item 4 at this point, and we're going to pick it back up next Wednesday. I move that we table item 4.
I second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Okay. All right. So let's move over to item 2. And Mr. Young has resigned his position, so place 4 is open. I know that several of y'all have talked about knowing someone that might be interested in joining the committee. Have we made contact?
Yeah, my neighbors didn't want to.
Didn't want to
make a commitment.
Okay. Alex?
No.
Okay. So I move that we, I would like to move that we ask council for guidance on replacing that member, and hopefully one of them might have a suggestion, or perhaps there might be someone from the Kyle Leadership Academy that may be interested.
Becoming a common theme, isn't it? What's going on? I wonder. There's a couple of committees that are lacking members at this point, and just can't seem to gain any traction in that
really?
Area.
Yeah.
What other committees? Sure.
EDT, I know for sure. I'd imagine there's others, but I don't know. The two that I'm on, maybe they're. I'm
there you go.
Yep.
That's it.
Got that figured out. Write that down. So I made a motion to ask for suggestions from council.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And motion carries.
Let me ask you something just to see if I can, because my boyfriend, we live together, but he also has a residence in San Marcos. Would he be eligible?
I would imagine he'd have to be
Kyle resident.
He kind of
pay a utility bill.
Where does he vote?
Yeah, he's registered to vote in San Marcos.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Told him to change his address. All right. I just wanted to make sure on that.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so moving on to item 3. We still have the place 7, the at-large place, is vacant. Based on item 2.
Yeah, exactly.
I move that we
I second it.
See if council has some ideas. It's okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. So we'll ask council if they have suggestions for an at-large place 7 as well. Moving on to item 5. Rez is going to give us an update on the various city financial business after he makes his notes.
In your handout, you should have slides, presentation slides, a spiral binder of our financial performance report, and a set of bar graphs towards the back. So those three things should be in your packet. The at our last meeting in October, we talked about our quarterly or year-end financial report due to council, which we presented to council in November 20th to be exact. We presented to city council the annual year-end report for the fourth quarter. I've given you a copy of the entire report for your information, but what I'd like to do is highlight some of the key points that we discussed with City Council for your information, and I'll use the slides for that. So, if you look at the all fund summary slide, which is
slide number four.
Slide number four. This is the city's financial position citywide for all funds that the city has. City manages about 27 separate funds, active funds. And I've given comparison from the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and the last quarter, fourth quarter. So if you look at the last quarter at 9/30/2012, we ended the fiscal year with an ending balance of $21.7 million. This includes all city funds such as general fund, utility fund, parks development fund, all the different separate funds. So this is at a very high level overview. If you look at the first quarter, we were at $21.8 million fund balance. We ended up with 21.7. Most of this decrease in fund balance is because of capital expenditures that we incurred during the year. The operating funds improved the ending fund balances, and I'll show you that in a minute. If you look at the next slide, which focuses on just general fund. And City Council had requested me to provide them with two actual years for comparison purposes and then the current year. So you will see 2009, 2010, 2011. Fiscal years 2011 and 12 was the year that we just finished in September. Looking at the general fund picture, if you look at the fund balance or the ending balance, we ended up the fiscal year with $4.8 million. Our budget, when City Council adopted the budget, the projection was at that time that we will complete the year with about $3.1 million, roughly. So we made a gain, a improved financial position for the city by $1.7 million between what we projected and what we ended up.
That's a huge difference.
It's a huge difference thanks to our City Council policies, the city manager's initiatives of cost control. The city department heads were really engaged this fiscal year in controlling and monitoring their budgets. So the credit goes really to our City Council, city manager, and the department heads for managing the funds that they were custodian for during the year.
Yeah.
About 50% was in revenue. More revenues came in, about $900,000, and we reduced the expenditures by about $900,000. So in round numbers, about $1.8 million to the good. And on the next slide, you will see some of the highlights where what the numbers look like. Property tax receipts were $3.4 million. For the M&O portion, property tax are divided into two portions. About half goes for operating. The other half goes for debt service. What you see here is the M&O, or the maintenance and operation, the operating side of the property tax. So total tax overall was about $6.8 million, but half of it is set aside for debt service. So property tax were $3.4 million. Sales tax for the year was $3.5 million. Charges for services, this is for trash service, $1.9 million. Municipal court fines, $805,000. Community development, these are planning fees and revenues, about $600,000. Recreation program, softball fees, swimming fees, facility rentals, about $272,000. And then what's not included here, overall franchise fees that we receive were close to $900,000 for the year in the general fund.
It seems our revenues have been pretty aggressive, haven't they?
Which one?
Well, we briefly touched on that.
Municipal court fines?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we touched on that last time.
There's a cap. You can't do too much.
Right. We have more police on.
Yeah.
The next slide. The next slide is.
Especially in our development.
Is to show you a comparison of sales tax. This is a what I call the finger on the pulse of the local economy. This bar graph compares 4 years comparatively. So for fiscal years 2009 through 2012, I've shown each month how sales tax collections have done in Kyle. Every single year, every single month has been better than the year before, with the exception of August. This past August was slightly less than the August in 2011. Now, these are collections. Collections are 2 months behind. So the September collections are July sales, actually. So this really shows that City of Kyle is really doing better in terms of sales. People are buying locally. People are shopping here at Kyle. And people are spending money in Kyle.
Yeah.
The slide after that is the general fund expenditures. And this is basically by department, from administration to public works and solid waste. Every single department was below budget. If you look at the percentages, administration was 96%, public works, street was 76% of budget. That's every fantastic. Single department. The slide after that, it shows you an overall picture of the city's water and wastewater fund. General fund and the utility fund are the two major funds of the city. This is where most of the services are rendered from. The utility fund, same thing if you look at the last two columns. When the budget was adopted, we were forecasting we would end up the year with $1.2 million in the ending balance. And we ended up with almost $3 million. Here again, same policy guidance from council, same cost reduction implementation by city manager, same efforts by city department heads in controlling and managing their cost. So overall, about $661,000 more in revenues than budgeted, and about $940,000 or $950,000 in expenditure reductions. That gave us the $1.6 million difference between budget and actual. So this is really a good news. If you'll recall, we talked about how council has been reducing the general fund transfer each year. So that has helped as well in improving the ending fund balance. Next year, this year was the second year of the three-year rate increase plan for water and wastewater. Next year is the last year of the three-year plan. And you'll recall from our previous discussions, and those rate plans were for what we have today in terms of our requirements. It does not include any plant expansions. It does not include any regulatory changes that might come down from state or improvements to the water distribution system. That is on the horizon in the next 3 to 5 years.
If I remember correctly, there's some significant things that need to be done.
Well, on the wastewater side, the treatment plant capacity is a concern, so that will have to be expanded. The state law requires that when you reach 75% of your treatment capacity, 3 months in consecutive months, you shall be in planning. Mm-hmm. When you reach 90% of your capacity, you shall be in construction. We have reached 75%, fortunately, 2 months consecutively, but not a third month. That would have triggered the plan. Mm-hmm. So it gives us some breathing room. We have also made some...
Do we anticipate it being 3 months? It has to be 3 months in a row or just 3 months?
3 months in a row, three consecutive.
Do we anticipate that happening anytime soon?
Based on our city engineer and our public works director, they're looking at, we should be planning in within the next 2 years for the next expansion.
Okay. Is repayment, I guess we have to do a bond for that, so is that...
Well, if you'll recall, we talked about the litigation we're involved with Aqua Texas. Aqua Texas has a contract to manage and operate the city's wastewater treatment plant. That has to be resolved before we can decide on who gets to build the expansion. Does the city expand on its own money, or do we require Aqua Texas to expand and we pay them on a timely, on over time?
Is that paid back through water rates, or is that actually paid back through?
It'll be through water and wastewater rates. Yeah, it would not be on the property tax.
So no bond?
Well, there would be bonds if we did the expansion ourselves.
Oh, okay.
If Aqua Texas did it, they would borrow the money, expand it,
okay, gotcha,
and then we would pay them like a lease payment over time, as we are doing today.
Okay.
The revenue slides kind of gives you an idea of our water sales and wastewater volume charges. And then the slide after that is the expenditures in the utility fund. Here again, if you look at it, every single function within the water utility was below budget. And this is on slide number 11. Any questions on either the general fund or the utility fund? We ended the fiscal year with really some solid numbers. So that will help City Council, I think, when we start planning for fiscal year 2014, which will start in about March, April time frame. City Council will decide on policy direction for the next budget cycle. The slide on page 12, these are the various city funds that we manage for the account for in the city government, from general fund all the way to pooled cash investments. The reason I present this to City Council is that they're aware of, in a snapshot, what the financial position is of each fund. The red numbers aren't good. And I keep reminding City Council, and I'll remind you as well, I as your city's finance director, inherited these red numbers.
You're funny.
But we are managing. We're managing to eliminate these negative positions in these funds. For example, the current budget includes some money to take care of item number 3, the transportation fund. We will transfer about $27,000 from the general fund to cure this negative. What I had suggested and recommended to council, and they adopted part of it in this current budget, was that we cure this over time. We don't have to do it overnight. It didn't happen this way overnight. We can cure it over time. So each year we'll set aside some money from savings in the general fund to cure these negative balances. So the $154,000 will be reduced by about $27,000 this year. The $87,000 negative in economic development fund will be reduced by $17,000 this year. And definitely we're going to take care of that $326, which is line number 27 this year.
Can we have some discussion around why these are in the red in the first place, if you know? I know it's probably before your time, like you said.
Well, based on my research and my investigation, the fault lies, in my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion, on staff. The staff did not fully share with council, with the decisions that when they were being made, what the financial position was before an expenditure was authorized. Mm-hmm. Now the city council has adopted a policy that no item on city council agenda will go for their decision that has financial implications without a fiscal note. And that fiscal note, basically, I am certifying to city council whether we have the money, where is that money, what the source of the money is, how much money do we have, how much this action will require, and how much will be left. If there is no money, they're informed up front there is no money for this project.
Have you told the federal government about this plan of yours?
So when they are considering an action on their agenda, they have a fiscal note. They're fully briefed what that financial impact is going to be of that action and where that money is going to come from. So these negatives, I think, in my opinion, happen because either staff didn't know fully, or they knew but failed to share that information with the decision makers. Because I don't think any city council would have spent money knowing that they didn't have it. So they basically overdrew that fund balance.
And that wasn't one, but that was over a period of years.
Period of time.
Right.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Slide number 13 is an overview of the city's debt position. I like to share this with city council every quarter. So it gives them an overall picture of what our debt position is that we still owe and what those debt belong to. Like, for example, general fund owes about $36 million. The TERS, or tax increment financing zone, is responsible for $26 million. The utility fund is $6 million. The hotel tax fund is about $137,000. So overall, we as a city, at 9/30, we owed about $68 million in principal. This is principal only, does not include interest. This also helps them gauge when they're talking about bond, road bonds, or whatever debt they may be considering for future city projects, that they have a up-to-date information of where the city stands in terms of how much we owe. The slide right after that shows them both principal and interest. If we don't retire that debt early and we pay everything as it matures, then that $68 million will really be $98.8 million with interest. Mm-hmm. The slide after that gives them an overview of our investment portfolio, how much money we have in the bank, and what the source of that money is. If you look at it, we have $20.1 million as of 9/30 in the bank, and of that, $7.4 million is really debt proceeds. It's really something we didn't earn. We borrowed it. It just hasn't been spent. Utility fund has about $7.7 million. General fund has about $4 million. Debt service fund, we had not made the payment yet, so we had about $933,000 in debt service. And all the other little funds combined had about $150,000. The sad part, however, here is on $20 million, we could only earn $85,000. Because of interest rates where they are today. And being a government agency, we can't...
A what agency? Government.
A government agency. We cannot invest in high-risk type investments. So these have to be solid investments where they can't be mutual funds. If you recall, the debt management policy is restrictive, and it follows the state law. The state law pretty much dictates where we can or cannot invest public funds. So if one of us had $20 million in our personal bank accounts, I don't think we would have made a whole lot. It's only $85,000 now. In former years, when interest rates were 6 and 7 or 8%, we were making good money for the city. But our investment pool, where we invest most of our money, is 0.15%. It's not even quarter of 1%.
Plus, a lot of banks, a lot of whenever your the funds are given to a small bank or any bank for that matter, public funds, they have to be collateralized. Smaller banks a lot of times don't have the wherewithal to provide rates because they have to basically, if you give them $20 million, like I guess that $20 million aside to collateralize that liability that the bank has. So rates are kind of pushed down because of that, unfortunately. A lot of times with the smaller banks. So just want to shed some light on that too.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah.
The slide after that is kind of shows the city council where that $20.1 million invested. If you look at two big chunks, and this is on slide 16, is the Techstar investment pool and Tech pool. These are investment pools designed for public funds. School districts are in it. Municipal utility districts are in it. Cities, counties all invest their money in these two major investment pools. We still have some money in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I'm sure y'all are familiar with those names in the media. But as they're maturing, we're cashing out these investments. And when I came to the city, there were in excess of $6 million, almost $7 million in mutual funds that were not allowed to invest in mutual funds. So one of the first things I did was to liquidate that and move the monies into the two tax pools. That's against the state law, and it's also against our debt management policy. Here's the exciting part. After that, you should have... No, I'm sorry. It's this graph.
It is exciting.
This is really good news. And city council was very pleased to hear this move as well.
I was just thinking about that.
This graph should look familiar to y'all. This is our debt service graph. So it shows each year what the city will have to pay for principal and interest. The three bars that you see after current year, next year, starting next year, it kind of peaks 3 years in a row. And the peak, the difference between current year and the next peak is $1 million. So our current year debt service is about, the first bar is about $5.2 million. The next bar is $6.2 million. And the reason that $1 million jump happens next year is the city has SIB loans, or State Infrastructure Bank loans. These monies were borrowed by the city through its Tax Increment Financing Zone, or TIRS, for the 1626 development, those roadways that we have today, primarily for 1626 and related roadways in that section. We had two loans. The first loan has been refunded as part of the $5.2 million debt service, but the next second loan was set up as a deferred loan. The payment on that one is not due until next year. The loan was set up in 2009. We're accruing interest until 2014, and the first payment is due in 2014. And that payment is about $1 million. $1 million for us on property tax is about 7 cents, roughly. So this jump is really not a good thing to have for us to bear that brunt for our taxpayers all in 1 year. So we were looking at options of how can we minimize that jump next year? Can we refund this debt? Can we do restructuring with this debt to maybe lower that hit next year?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the next slide, it's the same slide, same graph,
uh-huh.
But now I have a line going across.
Uh-huh.
We y'all will recall from the last meetings, and we were working with City Council to hire a new financial advisor. We worked with City Council to get a bond council. Those pieces are already in place. And we also talked about a possible refunding of the SIB loan, the second loan that's going to come due. If we're successful in doing that refunding, which my guesstimate is will come to council in their second meeting in February for their approval. If everything falls in place, the line graph that you see will be our new debt service. So basically, we're able to push those three peak years that you see towards the back. If you see the last three bars, they're going to increase by moving the front. And the idea behind is this. Two reasons. One, we don't want a 7-cent property tax rate increase in 1 year. We're looking at road bonds. We're looking at other cost increases going up next year that the council will have to address. Also, these assets that are funded by this borrowed money, they are more than the 20-year bonds that we have borrowed for. The roadways will last us 35 to 40 years, is our estimate and our city engineer's estimate. So we're matching the borrowing with the useful life of that asset that the city has by spreading it out to future customers or users of that road.
Right.
Why should today's user pay for something that a taxpayer in 20 years or 30 years would benefit? So we're spreading, not only shifting the peak, but we are spreading the benefit, the economic benefit of that asset over the useful life when the users will use that asset.
So refunding and refinancing, same thing?
Same thing. So if we're successful in doing that, we will be able to maintain that $5.2 million next year, give or take a few thousand. And we would push that out to 2032 time frame where it really needs to belong.
So this is a done deal, or
it's
you're
not
trying to?
No, I'm still working the mechanics.
Okay.
We're working with our bond counsel. We're working with the underwriters. We're working with our financial advisor. There are a lot of legal requirements and steps to go through, and also there are a lot of background bids we have to take. We don't want to do a private deal where we just negotiate with a bank or a financial institution. We want to get the best deal for the city. So the best deal for the city is usually when you go out and get bids from different underwriters who would loan us this money in the time frame we're asking and give us the lowest and the cheapest rate. So given the first round of just discussions with underwriters, we think we can put this together. We will come to council with the final deal. My goal is to bring it to them by their second meeting in February so we can get this transaction done before we go to the voters on the bond election, before we start the next budget process. My goal is to, before this needs to be kind of gelled before we start the next budget cycle. And to get all that done is February, early March time frame.
So according to this, through refunding, will we not have any debt service requirement to pay back until 2031? Or is it, because I don't see an increase between these two.
Yeah, you see the line.
No, I mean, I see that down here,
I'm not extending the time frame.
Okay.
It's just moving it from 2014 to 2030 to 2033 time frame. And the other benefit, there's several benefits. The SIB loan is about 4.25%. We can get a whole lot cheaper by refunding that. So that's another big benefit. There is a small sliver of 2008 bonds that we issued that the early maturities on those bonds have a coupon rate of about 4.5%. So I want to take those out in the same refunding. So we'll take care of all of the 4.25 SIB loan and all of the 4.5 that we have in our current debt, get rid of those as well. So that's really going to help reshape this debt service line.
Right.
So I'm really
hoping and praying that this will come to fruition in February.
So if it does, this line will drop considerably.
For those 3 years.
Yeah, for those 3 years.
And then in 2034, it drops back down?
Other years as well.
Correct. Yes, if you look at the side-by-side, from...
Yeah, so where you have your bar graph, mm-hmm. Your line.
Mm-hmm.
from 2033 is your last year. That 2034, it's going to drop back down.
Right.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. If we did not issue any more debt, mm-hmm. yes, right. We would be debt-free in 2034.
Right. So, being that we have potential bonds going to vote, say they pass, mm-hmm. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but how much is that going to increase our, I guess that's in another year.
That's
in another
year.
A year.
Total. Right? Total debt service after year 6?
2.9.
Yeah. Okay. So at year 6, we're up.
About $3 million.
Okay. Okay.
Which is the
21 cents.
21 cents. So that's another added benefit. It was, this refunding wasn't designed for that, but now it gives you a little more capacity to add for the needed things that we have. So at our next meeting, hopefully I can give you that good news. The council approved the bond sale, and we're going to save this money.
Thank you, Provost. Thanks for putting all that together for us. We appreciate it.
Yay, thank you.
So speaking of our next regularly scheduled meeting is Wednesday, April 17th at 6:30 p.m. Of course, we have, just to recap, we have talked about...
We didn't talk about this at all. Did we?
You touched on it briefly.
I included it. I included it in your packet because we're talking about bonds. This is the special bond election process. It's just information only for you, okay. And it's got key dates. Since you'll be making recommendation to City Council, I thought this would be helpful.
Is there anything on it that you need to join?
No, that
this
was
is
it.
For you to take home and read and study.
Okay.
Got it.
And we can perhaps have a remedial session next week. We'll carve out some time.
I'm kidding. I'll come with a presentation.
Yeah, that would be great.
2 hours.
Okay, so just a recap also. So next week, 23rd, Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. And hopefully in this room, unless it's booked. And if it is, then...
I will send y'all a meeting notice we'll have the place.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
You want to move that the meeting be adjourned?
I second it.
All right. So the motion is to adjourn.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye. I'm just curious. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you for that.